34 minutes after the hour. Good morning, everybody. Bill Arnold here, a guy who is never the smartest person in the room, even when I'm the only person in the room. How depressing is that? Anyway, do you know there's about 294 billion emails a day that get sent and 1.9 billion texts? I think there's roughly four teenagers that sends most of them. Yet we're still lonely. We spend all these hours looking at screens. We're looking for love in all the wrong places. Maybe we should fall back in love or fall in love for the first time with the Word of God. And my guest this morning, David Wheaton from the Christian Worldview, is going to give us a little bit of instruction as to how maybe to do that. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Bill. It's interesting you say that about how texts and emails and our phones have actually not connected us more. Well, they've connected us in a way, but they've actually made us more isolated. I don't know if you saw that special, that CNN, the kind of a CNN film they just did on Steve Jobs, the founder and the innovator at Apple. And someone was interviewed in it, and he said, ironically, all our phones have really isolated us amongst each other. We can be near each other, but all staring at our phones. So what an irony to a great connecting device that's actually had the opposite effect.
Right. So, David, I want to get into your topic this morning, but I want to start with something that I was reading from John, where it says in John 6, right around the 65th verse, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. And from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." And Jesus says, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" And Simon Peter says, "Lord, where should we go? You have the words of eternal life." And so these are the reasons we have to fall back in love and long for the Word of God. And you're going to give us some pointers on how to do that this morning.
Well, the context for talking about this morning is that at the beginning of the year, many Christians make it a point or a commitment to read the Word of God, the Bible, on a more regular basis. A lot of one-year Bible reading plans start now. People want to, if they're not going to do that and read through the Bible in a year, they just want to read the Word on a more regular basis. They know it's a good and right thing to do, and that's excellent. But as the year goes on, so many fall away from that initial commitment early on. As a matter of fact, the American Bible Society did a survey in 2014 and 2015 and says that less than half of adults in America can name all four Gospels. Now, that's believers and unbelievers. So 88% of Americans report owning a Bible. So nearly 9 out of 10 have a Bible, but only half of them, of adults, can be classified there as non-Bible readers, meaning they read the Bible less than twice a year. So that's the context for discussing this today. Here we are at the beginning of the year. And I had heard a message. I went out to a conference out in California called the Shepherds Conference. It's a very big conference where 3,500 men from all over the world come to this conference. And there's a lot of well-known speakers like Al Mohler and Steve Lawson and different people you'd know, and John MacArthur is there. But John MacArthur had given this message on how to long for the Word of God based on 1 Peter 2 and the first 10 verses. And just the context of that verse is, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander," then here's the key phrase, "like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." So the message was about how to get this longing like a newborn baby. You know, I had a newborn baby just a couple of years ago, and let me tell you, when they want milk, they will do anything to get it. Nothing is more important than milk to them. You could offer him $100 bill, doesn't care about $100 bill. He wants milk, and if he doesn't get it, he'll cry and whine and scream. And that's really the interesting analogy that Peter used, that should be our desire for the Word. And the question is, how do we get that?
That's a beautiful analogy, David. I mean, you saw and witnessed it firsthand. I mean, the utter desperation and unwillingness to do anything but pursue milk.
Very true, Bill. Yeah. And so I think every Christian listening today would say that what an incredible privilege we have as believers, not only to have a plethora of Bibles here in America that's not common elsewhere in other parts of the world, but that the Bible is actually the actual words of God. We get the mind of God written down in black and white, in ink, on white paper. You know, we can actually read his thoughts and plans and learn about his character and nature, and beyond all that, It is the word that explains to us what the gospel is, the most important question of life. How can we as sinful people be made right with a holy God? How can we have forgiveness and eternal life? How can we have redemption? I mean, it kind of starts there, that there's nothing more important than this book, because it communicates God's nature and his God's will for us.
Mm-hmm. Would we not be the absolute envy of first century Christians? We have the revealed word of God in our hands.
Very much. I mean, you think about that. And by the way, I don't sit here and kind of point my finger at other people and say, don't you get it? I mean, it's the
same.
Boy,
I do.
Sometimes when we have something, you just take it for granted a little bit that, you know, we have God's word right on our desk, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then yet we choose often to watch what the world offers in primetime, you know, sitcom television at night. Which is just junk food,
mm-hmm.
Worse than nothing compared to having the word. So MacArthur went into these 6 points and how to get a greater desire, how to get a greater longing, like a baby longs for milk. How do we have that kind of approach where we wake up in the morning and we can't wait to get into the word, because we know we're going to be meeting with God and we're going to be transformed through reading the word. And the first point he made was, to remember my life source. In other words, to remember what changed me in life. It was the word of God that I understood what the gospel was, what God's will was, to repent and believe in the gospel. You know, who God is, who I am, a sinner before him, who Jesus Christ is. He's the Son of God who came to earth, who lived a perfect life so that he could be the perfect substitutionary sacrifice and pay the price that I deserve to pay for my sin. You know, we learn these things, we find out these things through reading the word, and the Holy Spirit works through that to convert us. And so when we remember how important the word was in converting our souls, it's a reminder to say, hey, if it did that in converting me, what will it do in my sanctification process now that I'm saved?
Awesome. All right. So what else, David? This is, you're on a roll here. I don't want to slow you down. Go ahead.
Well, the second point he made was to what hinders us from having a longing for the word is that I need to eliminate my sin. And all these were taken from 1 Peter 2:1-10. I won't read every verse as we go, but in other words, putting aside things it says in 1 Peter 2 is that we need to examine our lives. You've heard the old phrase, sin keeps you from the word and the word keeps you from sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that is absolutely the case. You know, when we have unrepentant sin in our life, we won't have the desire, because it's like almost like Adam and Eve from the garden. We kind of hide from God. But when we have our sin, when we examine our lives, when we have all sin confessed, it doesn't mean we're sinless. It doesn't mean we're perfect, but we have a short account with God, when we have a sensitive conscience to sin. That creates a greater longing for the word, because we know that when we get into the word, it washes us, it renews our mind, like Romans 12:1-2 say, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there's this imperceptible drift, I think, that happens with each one of us each day when we don't get in the word. You know, when I was saved, back when I was 24 years old, I was saved through reading the word, by the way. I just started to read the word day by day.
Mm-hmm.
I was home from the tennis tour, and I had a really deep need in my life. I was outwardly successful, but inwardly very conflicted. And for the first time in my life, I began to read the word on a daily basis. And here I was, a professing Christian at 24 years old, and I really had never read the word that much.
Mm.
But as I begin to read the word day by day, that's what God used to use his spirit to start to work in my life and expose things in my life and show me that I wasn't the good Christian boy I thought I was, but begin to understand how holy God was and how sinful I was. And so it is the word, and sin keeps us from getting into the word, but the word exposes our sin so we can be more like sponges to take in what God wants us to take in.
That's really insightful, David. All right, we've got about 90 seconds. Can we get to step three?
Okay. Well, the third point he made about how to long for the word was to admit my need. You know, sometimes we don't think that we actually have a need. Like, you know, I've heard some Christians say, I've literally heard them say this, well, you've read all that before, or you've heard, you know, so many pastors' messages before. I mean, how much more, you know, do you need to hear? It's like, I've read the Bible through one time. The God's Word doesn't work like that. I mean, there's really two ways we can hear from God. We can hear from God directly through reading His Word, and secondly, we can hear it through hearing it preached by a sound preacher. And so we need to admit our need that it's not just a one-time event where we read the Bible a couple times a year, we kind of generally know what it says. It's something that needs to be done on a daily basis, just like we need to be fed or shower on a daily basis. Otherwise, we quickly get hungry and emaciated and lose strength. So we need to admit our need for it on a regular basis.
David, never assume I shower every day. Do not assume that.
Okay.
All right, I know we've got a few more points to cover. We're going to do that after the break. So everybody stay tuned. You'll hear more from David Wheaton in just a minute. It's 44 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold in studio. I'll be right back. Minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with us today. If you are starting off your new year and you're trying to grow in your desire to study the Word, well, you have come to the right place, because I got Mr. David Wheaton on the line from the Christian Worldview, and he is all full of information about how to be more proactive in longing for God's Word. And when we left off, David, we just finished step three. I know we've got a few more steps to go, so let's pick up.
Yeah, well, let me also just say, just remind someone who might have just joined the show, this was from a message I heard. This wasn't original content to me. But still, it was such an impactful message that it really stuck with me, because I think it's one of the fundamental things for the Christian life is longing to be in the Word. That's our life source, as that first point was. You know, I remember, like, back when I was playing tennis, Bill, it's as you play tennis too, you know, it's the fundamentals. You have to be able to execute the fundamentals in the game. In football, it's blocking and tackling, and in basketball, it's making the free throws and dribbling and passing. In tennis, it might be getting your first serve in, you know, staying, having good movement and so forth. If you can't execute the fundamentals of the faith, and one of the fundamentals of the faith is being in the Word and having the discipline of reading the Word and knowing how to apply it on a daily basis. If you can't execute that, your Christian life is going to be fits and starts and ups and downs. And I mean, it's that way anyway. We have enough trials and enough things going on in the world anyway that we need to be grounded for sure in this fundamental of reading the Word. I mean, it's just immeasurably important. As I mentioned, I think our minds change imperceptibly every day. I mean, never in America have so many lies been so pervasive about, you know, marriage and morality and objective truth. But we're distracted. We're busy. I mean, there are other things that grab our attention very easily. We often get attracted to other things more than attracted to God. And so that's sort of the reason why we need to realize how important it is to read the Word. And the fourth point is how to get a greater longing, as a baby longs for milk, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 2. The fourth point is to pursue your growth. In other words, there's a discipline element here, is that it rises out of a point of being discontent. And as you know, in your profession, Bill, or in sports or anything, when you feel satisfied, when you feel like you've arrived, I'm as good as I'm going to be, that's when you stop growing and improving. So we need to see our spiritual lives as, I'm not where God wants me to be. Matter of fact, I'll never be where God wants me to be, because I'll never be exactly like Jesus Christ. That's the goal for every believer. So this longing rises out of the fact that I'm discontent with where I am, and therefore I need to pursue my growth. You pursue your growth simply through picking up the Word and having a plan as to how you're going to get through it. It doesn't need to be, you know, hours of reading a day, but it needs to be in the Word, 5 or 10 minutes, maybe a chapter or two a day. Maybe it's some memorization of Scripture. Maybe it's just hearing the Word in audio, or just whatever it is that your plan, whatever works for you, getting into it is the way you pursue your growth. It's like eating sometimes creates more appetite. So that's the fourth point.
Well, David, you're such a advocate of discipline, and you've led such a disciplined life as long as I've known you. So I think there's discipline has a bad rap. And really, the truth is, every day you get up, and it involves a lot of hard work. And let's not pretend otherwise.
It does. And I actually will say, I actually don't consider myself. I see inside myself many times that I'd rather do the urgent thing than the important thing. It's easy for me to get up in the morning and to get on my computer and start taking on the tasks of the day by email. And that's the undisciplined thing to do. And I often do that. So, mm-hmm. you know, as disciplined as I might be perceived to be, you know, coming from my background in sports and so forth, you know, it's a constant battle within me every single day. And I think, you know, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, that's such an important thing to do. But the fifth point, Bill, into growing and having a greater longing for the word is to survey my blessings. I think this is a key point. You know, when we kind of pull back and realize, like it says in that first verse, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, you know, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, if you realize the incredible blessing of being living in this country, being able to have the word, but even beyond that, not just that, but being able to have someone explain the gospel to you, and then lo and behold, you repented and believed in the gospel. I mean, you realize how kind and gracious God was to take the scales off your eyes, to help you understand that you're a sinner and you have a great need for his son. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like someone who, you've heard Christians who get cancer, and instead of going into a pity party in a deep depression, they'll think of it this way. I have cancer, but I want to use my cancer for God's glory. You know, they're going to take that opportunity, and that's really a person who has surveyed their blessings, realized that it doesn't matter what happens to me in the circumstances of life. I'm incredibly blessed to know God. I'm incredibly blessed to have his word, and I want to use his word, the things that he's taught me in his word, to help others, even in the midst of my trials.
Mm-hmm. David, you bring up such a great point. And what about, how do we encourage people who maybe have never tasted God's goodness? I mean, this is the thing that, you know, might be something to really try to encourage people to say, you need to have a taste of it because you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah. Well, that really is, I think, an explanation of the good news. I mean, the gospel literally means good news. And you think, well, what's the good news? Actually, the best news. I mean, it's even better than good. It's the best news. Mm-hmm. You know, that the most important questions in life are answered and fulfilled by God through his son, through the gospel. You know, that we can not only have life, but we can have it more abundantly. But beyond that, we can have eternal life forever with him in heaven. You know, sometimes when I give my faith story, Bill, I talk about the fact that a big turning point took place when I was 24 years old. That's when I came to a saving faith in Christ. But, you know, my life didn't necessarily become free of trials, but all of a sudden God gave me a peace, a purpose, and a contentment and hope in the midst of them. You know, I didn't become perfect or sinless, but I began to be able to have the power to overcome the temptations of my life. So it's some of these incredible blessings that as we live them out and then speak about them to unbelievers, when God opens the doors and we have opportunities, we can share those blessings that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting, David. I so appreciate your boldness. I love you for your boldness. I just love you, period. So I appreciate you sharing your testimony and these words of encouragement for those of us who need to fall in love with God's word, and if just like a milk. Baby desires milk, that we should be drawn in the same way. Thanks very much. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
We love you too, Bill. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Thanks so much. It's 55 minutes after the hour. Faith Radio Mornings, Bill Arnold here in studio. I'll be right back. In the